Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation. Thank you for tuning into Saga Podcast. I am Garrison, and I'm here with co-host Sarah. Say hi, co-host Sarah.
I just muted myself. Hi!
All right, well, today we're going to be talking about The Illusionist, which is a French film, came out in 2010. Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care. And really, the plot of this story is about a stage magician with like a really tiny bag of tricks. Like he has the same sleeve trick and that's really it. And he struggles to hold an audience, and his tricks are like slowly going out of fashion. People are into like bands and things like that now, music. So the magician moves to the countryside, where he meets some impressionable people because they don't really know better. So they find his tricks kind of fun, and he meets this young woman who's like maybe in her 20s or something. And she follows him back to the city, and there's a language barrier. And really, the story is about how this guy sort of slowly falls into depression, and how the girl, she slowly starts to get her life together, and it's kind of a melancholy story. It's not really a happy story. But anyway, this film was directed by Sylvain Chomet and written by the same guy, but this was actually from a screenplay from decades ago by Jacques Tati, who I did some research on, and he's really cool. Like, I want to go back and like watch some of his things because it seems up my alley. But Jacques Tati was a French writer, director who pioneered like a style of like physical comedy and like a way of like reinventing like comedy.
Why is everybody named Jacques like a really cool guy? You notice that? Like every Jacques is like just a scholar of some sort.
You're not wrong. But the segment that's in the movie that's like live action, right?
Do you remember?
Well, that was actually Jacques, and that was from one of his films. And the mannerisms from that character are of the main character in this film. And this film was actually like supposed to be like Jacques was meant to like make it, but it was like too close to home for him, and like it never happened. So anyway,
interesting.
What were your thoughts?
A couple of things, though. You did say a couple of things I would like to add my opinion on. So you did say he is a stage magician. That is incorrect. He is not a magician. As stated by this movie, obviously, there's no such thing as magic. So you cannot call them magicians, because magic is not.
A magician is someone that does tricks. You know, they're not like a sorcerer, right? So I'm standing by my answer.
Then okay, so what was the point in him saying that, though? Like, what do you think that, why did he leave that note to the girl, like, magic is not real?
Well, before we get there, you have to understand that this guy is, it's supposed to like look like fantastical and real, so you can't call yourself an illusionist, because that sort of breaks the illusion. So you call yourself a magician to make it seem more real and authentic.
I think that fools audience, though. And, you know, and that's why this is called The Illusionist. because he doesn't like magic or something. I don't know. The French are weird.
Well, I think he's been doing the same like two tricks for like decades, I assume. And I think that the story is like showing the decline of like certain acts, like the ventriloquist guy and the clown.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were slowly going out of work and falling into stupors. And there was a new big thing coming up, like the music and things like that. So I think that this was trying to show a story during a time when those things were going out of fashion, and the lives of those characters.
Interesting. I think this movie has a lot of different symbolism in it, and it's such a pretty, pretty movie. And because it's mostly silent, by that I mean, you know, like it's got minimal sound effects and very little bit understandable as far as like language or words or anything like that. So you have to pay attention in order to absorb the story, and to absorb the result of the relationship that the main characters have. We don't know any of the characters' names.
I think we know the girl's name. It's Alice.
Yeah, okay. So we know Alice, but we don't know the magician's name, the illusionist's name.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We don't know the characters' names, and we don't really need to. It doesn't really take away from the story.
Right.
But it does sort of make it kind of more of a mouthful to like talk about the characters, because you have to like say what they are, like ventriloquist, like it's kind of a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Clown, that's like too many syllables in that word. So
well, it's also like I don't know, it's just like the easiest way to say it, like because they don't have names. I don't know, there was a lot of different relationships I loved following throughout this film, and it was like interesting because we would see them blossom and then see them kind of plateau, you know what I mean? Like, because not every relationship is built to last, so it was really cool to see the interactions of these old-timey characters, which, you know, is like a completely different world to us now, and then to see them kind of just move on.
Yeah. And it's almost like the illusionist, like he was being sort of sucked to dry from Alice, because like he just sort of gave even when he had really nothing to give, but he still gave. But at the same time, like he even like took on a new job to like make ends meet, but it's almost like Alice was like some kind of leech, because it's like her life got better but his got worse, and like pretty much everyone's life around her got worse while hers got better.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective too. I mean, but that's what change brings to, you know. Change brings in like new perspective, I think. And with that new perspective comes change, because usually people given new evidence will change with behavior, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, cuz like we've talked about like during our Ghost in the Shell show, where like if you don't adapt, you die, and like that's pretty much what happened with a lot of these characters. And they could have like changed up some stuff, like we've seen sort of a stage act with like the cutting the woman in half, and like Jeff Dunham with his stage comedy with his dolls and things like that. So they could have like transformed their acts, but they didn't. They were incapable of changing, and they suffered for it. But also, it's not like they didn't try. In some cases, mm-hmm. like he did try to get a a new job, but I guess realized that he had to like change his life. Like this wasn't working, so he had to just leave it behind and just basically uproot his entire life, his whole life savings, to like start a new life in an unknown and uncertain future.
The thing about the magician though is I really think he is by nature a traveler. I don't think he's the kind of person to stay in one place for too long either, because he goes where the money is. Maybe, and I think maybe that's why he is so giving with his money in a way. Like obviously, like he doesn't have much, but I think he also like he wants to take care of her like a daughter, but knows that eventually their relationship is going to have to part ways. But like, and it is an unfair relationship, I think, between the two, because she's obviously helpless. You know, she's a stowaway on the boat, and he's like, oh Christ, like, well, you know, why did you come along? So now he's gonna take care of this little girl. And I don't think she's old. I think she's quite young. And that's why he doesn't mind taking care of her.
Do you think that on some level he feels gratitude to her for like being impressed by his magic in a world where hardly anyone else is? So like he like wants to keep her around for like maybe his own validation to some extent?
Yeah, I mean, that could, like a pet, you know? She's a pet project.
And he is a sugar daddy.
Yes, he is. He is a grand sugar daddy. Hold on, okay. This is what I was debating on when I was thinking about this. Is he a sugar granddaddy or is he a grand sugar daddy?
Grand sugar daddy sounds cooler, but I think sugar granddaddy is more accurate.
Makes more sense. Yeah, it makes more, right.
But I am not happy with towards the end of the film where the girl dropped that pencil, and he didn't have to do a trick. He could have just given her his pencil.
I know. Why was he like so catty about it? Like, okay. Thanks.
Yeah. But there's animal abuse in this film. Like, they treat that rabbit so bad throughout most of this.
Yeah, I know. It is very sad. They smoke around the rabbit. They
shove it into hats.
Yeah, but it's a good thing it's animated. The rabbit is honestly like the best character in this whole film, and he is so sweet, and I love him. But you know, he gets a great ending. He honestly wins in the end out of everybody. I think he gets the best life.
Yeah, so a question about the girl, Alice. So we've established that she doesn't speak their language. So, but I'm guessing the guy that she meets speaks her language.
You know, I didn't think really about that. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I just assume they're not really interested in talking. Did you notice that none of their mouths were moving when they were like walking around, just walking?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't really know if they speak the same language because we don't see it.
I don't think they're interested in talking. That's just my perspective. Okay, yeah, so this, you know, there's a lot of different, like, aspects in this that remind me of, like, Charlie Chaplin-style slapstick comedy. It's very dry comedy, you know, like the magician will get drunk and like cannot find the leg coordination to go upstairs or to go over the hotel innkeeper, and it is just so funny to watch him stumble. And it's that kind of comedy, I think, that also reminds us the origins of some of these comedies, and it's really about watching people fail. And this definitely helps bring in some entertainment.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Charlie Chaplin, because Jacques was actually inspired by Chaplin, as well as like vaudeville stuff. And that's cool that you like picked up on that. So that's, I guess, a testament to Chomet and Tati's craft. Mm. But did you catch the McDonald's fine dining establishment?
No, I did not. I didn't. Watching
the restaurant that Alice wanted to go to, but they ended up getting like some fish and chips instead, was McDonald's.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. That's actually kind of funny. Like, what if that was just a regular McDonald's, but the illusionist is so poor that he can't even afford McDonald's?
I could definitely see that happening. Yeah, I mean, and then this whole like movie was amazing. I think that this movie really tells us about the artists, because it's so freaking beautiful, and it's all about the animation and the story. You know, none of the and you know, the music, obviously, but the characters have depth in design and not in language. Does that make sense?
Like, they speak with their bodies, I guess.
Yeah. Like, they don't have to use their words to communicate. And I love that in animation. I think that makes for great visuals. Anyway.
Right. All right. You're all right. So, the illusionist, and also many of those other characters from the hotel, it's like, so part of this story is like trying to like tell you like there's like a tragedy to it, where like these people have worked like years like honing their craft, and they're like not good at anything else, like basically maxing out a stat in like an RPG, and then not really putting anything into your other stats, so you're really lopsided and like not very practical. And the tragedy comes from like putting all of your eggs in one basket, and then the basket breaks, and basically failing at the only thing that you're good at is kind of a sadness with it.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about the scene in the attic with the clown? Did we want to talk about that? I'm just gonna skip past that.
That scene surprised me. Like, I wasn't ready for that. That was pretty real.
Yeah, that was pretty real.
And especially in 2020, where there's like mass
suicides. Ooh, so real.
Right. So there's a scene in this film where a beat down clown tries to kill himself, and he's like drinking heavily, which is also a theme of this film. There are several characters that drink themselves into like stupors and things like that, but the girl, like, she basically helps people. That's her gift. Like, in some way, she helped the illusionist and helped the clown, maybe.
Well, she did keep his place clean and cooked for him and stuff like that, which, you know, of course, that's a pleasure in itself.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, to like be able to have somebody to cook and clean for you, man, that's so nice to have somebody to take care of you.
Yeah, it's probably like a lonely thing, I guess, like being one of these kind of people, these like stage people, like.
Yeah, that. But I think when they find each other, they feel at home, but then I think when they're out the rest of the world, they might look like, or they might feel like they're separate. But I think that's another part of this story too, is like you can interact with anybody and find that they've got some light of like humanity or love or tranquility or whatever, you know. Like, there are like aspects of every human that give something, and you know, there's aspects of every human that can take things too, and it's just depending on whether or not they ever take.
Yeah, perhaps, but I also think that there is some element of isolation, because the three brothers that were like swinging from ropes and stuff, like they had, you know, they were a trio, so they had each other. So they kind of like stayed pretty chipper throughout the whole film, but for the other characters, it was just them. But and then the illusionist could have been like those other characters, but he had Alice, so he like kept his sanity.
Hmm. And the puppeteer had his puppet until he had to sell it to afford drink, alcohol, I guess, to afford food and shelter.
Yeah, this isn't a kids' movie.
Yes, I know. I feel like this is like a long way to tell you, like, yeah, you might be sad watching this movie. Maybe not sad, but like solemn. Like, I didn't cry, but certainly didn't feel great after watching this film.
Right. This film. Yeah. Right. So the illusionist like left Alice with a note saying magicians don't exist, which is like such a funny goodbye thing to say.
It's kind of like a fuck you, if you ask me. Yeah. I would feel like super insulted by that. Okay, jeez. Didn't you felt that way?
Yeah. You could almost read that as like him writing that note and like him not giving that girl his pencil. Like it could read as him just giving up, but I like what you said about like he's more of a traveler and he goes where the money goes, so maybe he realized he should cut his losses with his act and try something, but he's not good at.
Yeah, that could be it. Like, he might be on to try something else, but I think I'd have to go back and rewatch to see if there's any further context into that, but you might be right, actually.
Well, overall, I enjoyed this. It was engaging. Maybe a little bit repetitive of he kept doing the same thing and like seemed to have like no interest in like trying to like change. A bit frustrating. And then the guy for Alice sort of coming in during the third act seemed just like a plot thing to sort of give her some reason to leave. That was a little convenient, contrived to me. But overall, it's like a 7.5.
Yeah. I think as far as like animation, like overall, it's like 9.9 out of 10. But, you know, like story and everything, I would say I was just gonna go with 8 out of 10.
Well, do you have any final comments?
Nope. It looks like in the next episode, we will be talking about some Christmas stuff. Christmas movie. Is this, are we going back to the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Yep.
Didn't we watch this last year?
We didn't. We watched The Nightmare Before Christmas and 8 Crazy Nights last year.
That's right. I remember watching this movie with my mom, though, and I remember it being very cute. So, I'm ready for it. Bring on the Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.